My guest today is Carl Schweitzer. Carl, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
What do you do?
So I'm a consultant at Skyline Technologies, primarily a .NET-based shop, and we're out of the northeast Wisconsin and Milwaukee areas.
Appleton, Wisconsin. I've been there.
Yes. And, you know, we have all sorts of clients, and, you know, I'm a senior software engineer there, and I just have a blast there nearly every day.
And you also do a lot of public speaking, don't you?
Yes, I do. I'm a Microsoft Windows Platform Development MVP, and I speak a little bit more regionally. I go out to the Minneapolis area, down to Chicago.
Sometimes to Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin.
Sometime to Wisconsin
Dells. Which is where we are right now at that conference.
Yeah. Oh, somebody won something.
What are you speaking at that conference?
So I'm talking, the title is Welcoming Windows 10.
And Windows 10, that's a hot topic.
Since Windows 10 just came out recently, I figured it would be great to introduce people, because I imagine there's a lot of people who don't know what it's all about. And a lot of developers that might not know what all the features are. What can you program to? Why would I want to make a universal Windows application?
Why would I want to make a universal Windows application?
So, you know, in Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, we had a concept of a universal application.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, when you did file new project, you got three projects.
Right.
That was kind of a lie. You hit new project and you got three.
Mm.
And it was a lot of overhead, you know, to have code your UI twice. And there's instances where you can minimize that and you know, get that into your shared project.
Yep.
But with the new Windows Universal application, you do file new project, you get one project.
Mm.
And, you know, one of the things that I want to get across is, you know, with the new APIs that we have that make that possible. So how you can use the new layouts, like the relative panel, how you can use the new features in the visual state group to switch between your mobile and your big Windows modes, or even between the modes if you're a little bit narrower on your window. And
So that's an interesting thing. So sometimes it's necessary, it's preferable to have different UIs, because a phone is a different device than a desktop.
Exactly.
How do we handle that?
So, like I said, with the visual state groups, you can set very similar to responsive web design.
Okay.
There you often do it by width, but you can also do by height. And there's also another project I'm promoting. There's another MVP called Morten Nielsen, and he has a project on GitHub called Window State Triggers. So you can do it off of regex. So if you there's certain strings that come through, you can have a trigger that based upon like a status of your application itself.
Interesting.
So the
regular expressions.
Yes. So
that's the old joke that I had a problem and so I used regular expressions to solve it, and now I have two problems.
Yeah.
That's the.
Yeah. And that's not the only thing that his thing gives, but you know that's one of the things. It's you know, these features that you can change the state and look of your app just by the different things that are happening. You can respond to them proactively.
Okay. So when we're done, we compile this thing, we get one binary, right?
You get one binary.
All right.
You publish to one store.
Okay.
And you potentially get Windows apps. You get phone apps. In the future, we'll get Xbox apps. You'll have IoT applications.
The same binary should run on all those.
It will, as long as you support the formats that they support.
Now, how do I handle things like the capabilities of different devices? So my PC may not have a camera or a gyroscope, but my phone does.
Yes, there's a new API, and just because we're live, I forgot the name of it. But,
but we used to use conditional logic, the pound if kind of thing.
Yeah, there's actually an API that you can send the name of your method off to and your namespace, and it'll check if it exists. And if it does, then you can execute it. If not, you can handle it in a different way.
Okay. If people are, let's target experienced Windows developers, and they want to start building for Windows 10, where should they start?
Well, if they're experienced, you know, I would just do file new projects, start playing around.
Okay.
Another great resource is on MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. There's a great set of courses by Jerry Nixon.
Jerry, he's on my team. Really sharp guy.
Excellent. Yeah, and that's a really good set of courses. It gives you the great, you know, the overview that I'm going to give, but in depth too. It's like a 6 or 8 hour course.
Okay. Are you writing about this? Are you blogging about it?
I will be.
I
had to finish preparing for this first.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. But you're blogging about other things somewhere, right?
Yes.
Where?
You can find me at wpdevguy.com.
Uh-huh.
And my Twitter handle is @Carl Schweitzer.
All right. And you also have a radio show.
I have a podcast called MS Dev Show.
And we're stealing some of your audio equipment here, which I appreciate.
Yes, we're using our microphones for this and portable recording.
Tell me a little about the show.
So it's a show that I do with Jason Young, who works on the TED team at Microsoft.
Okay.
And we get together once a week to talk to people who are experts in various aspects of Microsoft-related technology.
Uh-huh.
And we just try to explore them as deeply as we can for, you know, our 45 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
And learn as much as we can and share it.
I've been listening to it, actually, since I saw you in Appleton a few weeks ago, and it's a pretty good show.
Thank you.
Carl, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's just really great being here at that conference where I can check out technology with my friends.